1029.com podcast. The Garner Andrews Show podcast for Norquest. Norquest is Edmonton's community college. Check them out at www.norquest.ca.
Good morning, my many friends. I'm Garner Andrews Show studio usher Teddy Peterson. Say, an inmate in Ohio was executed the other day, just 1 week after being resuscitated by prison staff after a failed suicide attempt. The inmate had been serving a life sentence for first-degree irony. Now, silence! Silence, I say! For can't you see we're trying to do a show here? Here comes another steaming pantload of Garner Andrews Show on the Sonic.
The Gas to Go podcast.
We were talking about engagement rings and wedding rings. And I said on the radio, guys, listen up, Sonic boys. If you ever propose to a girl and you slip that ring on her finger and she goes, I'm going to need to see a little more rock before I commit to this. What you need to do is you need to jump in your car and do a 200 mile an hour burnout and never look back. Run for the hills, okay? Run and hide, in the words of Bruce Dickinson. Now, Jen is on the phone here. Jen did this when her husband proposed. She said, I don't know. She didn't ask for more rings. She just thought the ring that he gave her was ugly. Now, Jen, let's talk a little bit about that ring.
When we bought my diamond, my husband bought my diamond first, and I bawled and cried, and the jeweler, I think, maybe took pity on me, and so he made the ring for free.
Why were you crying? Why?
Well, because I was so emotional about, you know, Oh my gosh, I'm going to get married.
And, okay, I thought maybe because it was really small or something.
No, it was much bigger than I had ever thought.
Okay. Yeah, it's...
But now I'm waiting. Now it's the perfect diamond for, 10 years.
Yeah. Well, there's...
And then maybe we can upgrade.
Well, no, don't upgrade. I don't understand the upgrade. Listen. Get an anniversary ring, something for your other hand.
Well, you have something for my other hand when you work in jewelry.
Well, then grow another finger or something. But I don't like... It bothers me, I guess, when I hear people go, for our 10th anniversary, my wife and I are getting bigger rings. We're upgrading our rings. But isn't there some sentimental value to that ring? When you first fell in love, there should be some sentimental attachment to that, right there.
Well, I would like to keep this ring and eventually give it to my son or my daughter, whatever.
Yeah, they don't want it.
But I would still like a little bigger.
What is that? I don't.
You get stuff at cost.
I don't understand the female mentality on the big ring. It's like, is it so that other people notice that you're married? And by other people, I mean other women.
No.
I'm one of the lucky ones. I'm not a troubled loner sitting at home eating dinner for one, watching Another World or whatever it is troubled lonely women do, petting one of my 27 cats.
Yeah, I was going to say petting the cat.
Yeah.
No. It really wouldn't bother me if he had given me a small diamond. But now that we're a little more settled and, life is good, I don't see why we shouldn't have... I shouldn't have. He doesn't have any bling on his ring whatsoever.
No.
It's a very simple, plain band.
I will never change my wedding ring. That's the one she bought for me. That's the one I got on my wedding day. Good enough.
Gas to Go from Sonic 1029.
If I was to, design my girlfriend, a skull ring or something like that, I'm sure she'd be more appreciative of that than having some diamond or something like that. Yeah, she loves skulls, right? She's seen a belt, and as soon as she's seen it, it had skulls on it, it was hers.
Right? Yeah, but I'm a little concerned.
She's seen a pair of shoes, it had skulls on it. The only reason why she didn't get it was because it had paint on the shoes, dude.
Oh, but aren't you afraid that we're maybe moving out of the skull phase? Like, maybe skulls are over now?
I don't know. It all depends on the person, right?
Well, you can get skulls on everything now. It's sort of the peace sign back in the 70s, or that smiley face thing, that was cool for a while. And the peace sign comes and goes. It comes and goes. I think right now we're in the go phase of the skull.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you see your dad show up and he's got on a golf shirt with a skull on it, it's like you kind of at that point you go, maybe it's time to move on to something new. I don't know what the new symbol of defiance and disobedience should be.
No, I have no clue.
But maybe the skull. Maybe we've moved on. Once the once your dad starts tucking that skull golf shirt into his Dockers, or about a year ago, my wife and I, as a baby gift, we bought a friend of ours. We bought them skull and crossbone baby blankets. And suddenly it's like the skull doesn't seem as B-A as it used to be. So what is the new symbol for Defiance? What is it? I sort of feel like, you know, maybe the fashion and the fad world is moving on. They've moved on from the skull.
The Garner Andrews Show Podcast.
My wife, she inherited her engagement ring, and she, well, what happened was her mom passed away, and she was the last one left to not get married, and so she was entitled to it. And she refused for me to buy her a ring. So after we got married, I think our third anniversary, I went out and I went with her and picked out just a little ring, just for my sake, saying that I bought her one and got it joined together with the one that she inherited.
You got it spot welded onto that one.
Yep. It's not a very big one. There's not, like, there's diamonds all the way around, but they're not huge diamonds. And
yeah,
the ring that she originally got wasn't huge diamonds on it either. They're just tiny little ones. And she was more than happy to have that. And she's the type of girl that doesn't like the big, huge rocks on her fingers. She thinks they look stupid. So
I was talking to a woman on the show earlier today who said she wants a bigger ring. She wants to upgrade because she needs a bigger ring. And I said, who is that for? Is that to show other women that you are one of the chosen ones that got called up to the altar? They will always deny that. They will always deny it. But here's the thing. Guys don't care about the giant rock on your finger. It means nothing. The giant rock on your finger to a guy is like the giant tires on your truck are to a girl. She does not care.
That's a good analogy. That is so true.
It's the Garner Andrews Show to go. Want to hear more stuff like this? Check out the Lane Mitchell Podcast. Available for free at sonic1029.com.
My husband, my boyfriend at the time, he always used to complain that the girl gets the big ring, what does the guy get? And, you know, the typical answer from a girl is, oh, you get me. But he always said, I think guys should get a big screen. So I went out and I bought a big screen and I proposed with that. So his engagement ring is a big screen TV.
So did you ask him to marry you?
Yes, I did.
Really?
Yeah.
Bold. Why? Had you been giving him warnings that if he didn't?
Well, it was a little bit of impatience and, you know, we had already bought the house together and everything, so I just thought it'd be kind of cool just to get him the big screen.
Did he say yes?
Yeah, of course he did.
Did he do that thing where he did his hands go up in front of his face and he start flapping his hands in front of his face?
That would have been awesome if he did. But no, he was kind of just in shock that he had a big screen TV sitting there. So
did he hug it?
You know, we did take a picture of him with it.
Yeah, and now it hangs over the fireplace.
Yeah, he keeps it in his wallet, you know.
Did he get those photos of his big screen where he dressed it up in lingerie? What are those photos called?
I have no idea.
What are those called?
It's a good idea, though.
No, what are the photographs where the girl, she puts on her unmentionables and gets her photo taken, and then it's just for his eyes only. What?
Ooh, yeah. No, I'm not sure what those are called.
Here's the thing about those photos. Don't leave those out on your dresser and then give me a tour of your house. First of all, I don't want a tour of your house, okay? I'm fine in the living room, hanging out in the basement, wherever we're at. It's not, I didn't pay an admission fee like I'm going to a museum so I can have a tour of your house. You don't need to tour me through your place. I don't want to see where you lay down. I just find that odd. I like the upright you, not the laying down you. And those photos, every now and again, they make their way on top of a dresser. You're giving a tour of the house. Next thing you know, I've stared too long at the photo of you in your lingerie. Now you're looking at me, and it just gets all weird. And without revealing too many details in case they listen to this podcast, there is somebody in my circle who, a relative. Well, through marriage. And she has a nude portrait of herself hanging above their bed. And this thing is giant. I don't know how big this thing is, but she's nude, no clothes whatsoever, and it hangs right above their bed. I got the tour of the house, and how awkward is that? I'm standing in your bedroom door, and you're like, and this is the master suite? And all I can fixate on is the picture of you nude above, and then you bust me staring at the picture. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do?
Podcast Sonic.
Hey, they're called boudoir photos.
Boudoir photos.
Yeah.
Have you ever had those done?
I actually did in August last year.
And what did he think?
Well, he took like 500 shots and I liked maybe 15 of them.
Well, no, I mean, what did your boyfriend or husband think?
He thought it was pretty awesome that I was like half naked in some pictures he got to keep, so.
Yeah, you know what? Listen up, Sonic girls. That is something that your Sonic boy will truly appreciate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like the best present ever.
Okay. Hey, what's your first name?
Cassandra.
Cassandra, do you keep those under lock and key?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, they're not on top of your dresser. You're not giving tours of the house?
No.
Okay.
Actually, they're on a disc, so I don't really have to worry about it.
They're on a desk?
A disc.
Oh, a disc.
Yeah, I got a couple of hard copies, but... Yeah, those are definitely under lock and key.
I thought he was supposed to put those in his wallet, no, and just...
I don't want to flash those around to people.
Okay, but they are in his possession, right? You got them done for him.
One or two of them. Mostly they were for me, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you call them? Bedoir?
Boudoir.
Boudoir.
Yeah.
So that's French for sleepy?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I didn't mean that.
Oh, no, it's okay.
I like those photos.
Me too. They were fun.
Okay. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too.
Bye.
Bye.
Look at the phones ring. One more, real fast. Hello, Sonic.
Did you get your answer yet, Garner?
Boudoir photos.
Boudoir photos, indeed.
Have you ever had those done?
I don't think the photos we took in the 90s would qualify as boudoir, but...
What do you mean?
I've had pictures taken, but... I don't know if they were really classy enough to be, you know, boudoir.
They're just you being all naked.
Well, they were a little more porno, let's just put it that way. But, you know, it was the 90s.
Yeah, I know, but now hang on a second. Are you afraid that maybe those pictures are now on the information superhighway?
Not at all, because I don't think people would take the time to scan them. And put them on the internet. They were on film, so this is a long time ago.
You sure? Now, I don't want to make you paranoid, but they got a lot of stuff down at the internet, and...
Well, you know, if that's the way it is, then that's the way it is. One of my favorite bars still has a copy of one of these pictures in the owner's office, so, you know, people have seen it. It's okay.
Okay.
It's a time long gone by.
It's a Sonic Podcast.
Got a little something you spoke about. I'm pretty sure you probably don't want to get back into it about a week ago. It was about movies and stuff and how somebody tells you that it's a very, you know, special effects movie.
Yeah.
That's kind of the first, you know, big, all the focus is on the special effects instead of the story type deal, right?
Yeah, well, it's... and that's my personal thing, that I prefer some story. I prefer... a movie weighted heavier on the story side than the special effects side.
See, me, I'm the exact opposite. In fact, I get frustrated. Like, the only reason I'll see a movie in IMAX or at the theaters is if I am blown away in my seat by the special effects. Because, I mean, I can see a good story at home. Or, well, I mean, I'm not going to read a book, but if I wanted to, I could read a book for a good story without the special effects. But the special effects, to me... is about 80% of the movie. I know everybody's going to phone in and whatever, blah, blah, or whatever, you know, but just saying special effects, it's the reason why I go to theaters. I want to sit down and just be like, oh, wow, like, story could be a little lame, but stories are everywhere around you. Your life is a story. Like, everything is a story. It's nice to just sit back and see something visually stimulating
but
you're not going to see anywhere else. So that's kind of funny.
Okay, hang on.
Say that. I was like, wow, I am the exact opposite. I only go to a theater if it's a special effects movie.
The thing about special effects, though, is even if you look at a movie from... 15 years ago, the special effects are like, what? Are you kidding me? But now special effects are so good that in a lot of cases, you can't tell what's real and what's fake, right? So
yeah, I like that.
But Well, I know, but at what point do special effects become so real that they're no longer a big deal anymore? And stories, it feels like stories have become so secondary in the filmmaking process, and it makes me sad. It's like special effects, yes, that's fine and dandy, but I want an engine in my movie, and the engine is the story. That's what drives the movie. It's like special effects. You know what else is a special effect? A fire pot. Some pyrotechnics. But you wouldn't just go sit in a great big empty room and watch a flash pot go off over and over again, would you? No, but if there was a story around that flash pot, you'd be inclined to do that.
It's Gas to Go from Sonic 1029.
I was going to weigh in on this movie story thing.
Yeah, story versus special effects.
Yeah. I don't see them as being too conflicting. Like, for me, I'm kind of on a spectrum. Like, I like a story when I like a story. I like special effects when I like special effects. I think what the one guy might have wanted to mention is that if you're going to pay the kind of money that it costs now to go to a movie and get popcorn and drinks and stuff, you know, that's when you go see a special effects movie, right? When you really want to get that visual going.
Yeah.
On the big screen.
I don't have, and look, I don't have a problem with special effects movies.
Yeah.
I don't. But yeah. Anytime somebody's making way too big a deal out of the special effects, that to me is a red flag that yeah. It's going to fall short in the story category. I love the Alien movies, that whole series, all of those movies. I don't have a problem with any one of those movies.
Yeah.
It was a good story, and for the time, the special effects were pretty good. So that to me right there was two trains collided head on. And produced a wonderful bastard child called the Alien movies.
I think that's when it's in a good balance, right? That's a good point for sure, when the story actually kind of owns up to it.
This is the Garner Andrews Show to go. Like, get the hell out of here.